So we gave several hundred dollars away last week, and the stories are already coming in about some of the things that you've done. So if you have a story, let me or Eric or Adam know, and we'll be happy to relay those on to the congregation. But I just look for some great things to come as we participate in giving this year. You have your Bible today, and we're going to just wrap this up pretty quick today because we want to get you out, and we got some other people's got things going on, and we know it's a busy time of the year, and we know some husbands hadn't done all their shopping yet, bless their hearts. This is your time. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple little quick things before I get into the message and forget. Miss Thelma had done some follow-up from a family that called the church and that has some great needs. It's a grandmother, mother with a few kids that just called for help for Christmas. If you'd like to take one of the kids or donate something to that, just see Miss Thelma. Raise your hand, Miss Thelma, after church. And I just said, we'll just lay the needs out before the congregation and see. I know a lot of you are already given sacrificially and all, so, but if you have something and you'd like to help this family, there is a need, and we told them we'd let it be known. Where's Andrew? Did he leave? Okay. Did we get the picture on the big screen? We did not get that done. Well, what I'd like for you to do, since we didn't get that done, he had a lot to do this morning, you can see with his video and all, but when you leave today, if you would, out through these doors in the middle between the two restrooms, there's a picture, and it's from James Robinson from Life Outreach International. One of our pastors called him and asked him if he could send us a picture of the whale and the kids and all, so they got a picture of the whale, and they're all huddled around it drinking this fresh water, and he sent us a little thank you note, James did, and signed it. It's out there in our hallway, and so if you get a chance, just stop by and look at that, and we just want to say thank you again for helping us achieve a well for these kids. Says about, I'm very proud of you all. Says about it'll on average, he said, well, we'll feed over the course of a year over 1,000 people one well. So just that's a huge thing. And so we were in prayer this morning talking about what other projects. Well, one of the things that we have going on, and I mentioned it a little bit last week, was we've been approached with one of the Guatemalan ministries that we support has four widow ladies, and he wanted to know if we could build them a little 12 by 12. They call it a house. I call it a room. But a block wall, cement floor with a metal roof, a little tin roof. Right now they're living in, and we can show you some pictures later. But I just wanted to plant that in your heart to say, you know, just pray. And somebody says, when will the giving end? When we get to heaven. And that's when it should end, because if we're not giving while we're down here, we're drying up. And so we just want to give part of away, and so just pray about that. The cost projected at this point is less than $2,000 for these little makeshift homes, what I call them. But it's a nice home for them. It's something with solid walls and roofs that don't leak and boards that's not rotted and falling over. So just keep that in your prayer, just as a goal for us, we will talk about that a little later. They'll be here next Sunday to kind of minister to us and all. But that's something we've just got in our sights for this next year. And I want to say thank you so much for giving to the Lord and feeding and clothing and housing people. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke, the first chapter. And I want to look at something real quickly here. Just the kind of the story of what we just saw up here with Mary and Elizabeth, and I appreciate them doing that, just to give you a mental picture, because, and I always wonder what Elizabeth is going to say when we give her the pulpit. It's always a risk with that Elizabeth, I'll guarantee you. But I just feel like that's some of the things that they were going on in their mind. You know, when we look at these people and we think they're holy and they're, well, they were also young, and can you imagine being engaged and telling your fiancé, and, well, I'm pregnant, and he says, well, how'd you get pregnant? Well, God came by and impregnated me, but it's going to be okay. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine walking in as a young teenage girl, tell your daddy I'm pregnant with God's baby? Can you imagine that? And daddy saying, you better be, because you better give your heart to Jesus, because you're fixing to go home, you know. And I mean, these are real-life people with real situations in their life, and all of a sudden, you know, so So in Luke, the first chapter, in verse 5, says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, his wife and daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous." And this is the key verse I want you to hone in on. "They were both righteous before God, walking in all commandments and ordinances of the Lord, and blameless." Now, here's my first point in today. We're talking about Christmas presents that keep on giving. And what I want you to know today is this. God wants to burst some things through you, through each of us in this lifetime. And hopefully we'll be a righteous vessel. In my devotion time, I've been going through the Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. And one thing I've noticed, and I used to think this. I used to think God doesn't use unholy vessels. You know, if your vessel isn't holy, I thought God cannot use you in any form or fashion. But after reading the Old Testament and studying it and going through, I found out that God does use unrighteous vessels. Did you know that? He uses unrighteous. In fact, He uses ungodly people at different times in the Bible to accomplish His purpose. Here's the thing. The only time I can find when God uses unrighteous vessels is whenever He uses them to punish either His people that have gone on to rebellion and gone on into idol worship. He says, "You've made wooden images and stone images, and you come and you worship them, things that you've made with your own hand, and you think they're going to bring you prosperity and they can bless you, and it's some product of your own hand, and you're worshiping them." And so He calls to the Assyrians or someone else, the Babylonians, and He brings them in, and He punishes. His fury is poured out on His children. How many knows if you're a good parent, you punish your children when they need it? God's a good parent. He never misses a whipping when you need one. Say, "Thank you, Jesus." Yeah, thank you, Lord. And so he's that's the only time I've ever noticed. You know, He did use a donkey one time to talk, and when I was a little less mature in the word, I thought, well, that donkey must have been saved if He used him, because He does not use unclean vessels. You know, but God can use what He wants, can't He? He can give a donkey a talking voice. Wouldn't it be awesome one morning you're walking out and you're feeling kind of unholy and disturbed, and a bird says, "God said." You know, wouldn't that shake your, you know. And just like with these people, they came in and Gabriel came in and he announces to them and he talks to them. But here's what I know. If God is going to burst something through you, and this is the key, if you don't get anything else, get this. If God's going to do something great through you that's bigger than you are, like I said, maybe you've had a big hard heart for a long time, and all of a sudden God wants to change it, and you say, "I just can't do it. I can't forgive. They hurt me too bad. They did this too much." You can say, "You know what? I can't do it, but I know who can do it through me." But you have to have a righteous vessel. Get that in your heart. You have to have a righteous vessel. You cannot harbor stuff in your heart and your mind that's unrighteous, because God won't birth anything great through you if you don't have a righteous vessel. They were blameless and righteous before the Lord. Now, it doesn't say that Mary was, but what it does say about Mary, when the angel looked at her, he said, "You are highly favored before the Lord." How many knows if you're highly favored, that could be interpreted as you're a righteous person? Because God doesn't favor unrighteous, unholy people. You show me in the Scripture where He does. He may use them for His purpose of going through it. In fact, He will use an unholy person to even go and really just destroy another unholy nation. You can find that in the Old Testament as well. And here's the power of the birth of Christmas, and that is this. We can't be holy and righteous in our own power, but through the birth of Jesus Christ, His sinless life and His death, we can be holy vessels before the Lord. And all we have to do is say yes to His righteousness, to His finished work on this planet, and accept what He's done, and He'll wash us and make us white as snow. Vessels that's been tainted and tattered and tarnished for years and years and years. So get that in your spirit. God is going to burst something through you if you have a clean vessel that's worthy. They were blameless and clean before the Lord. They're highly favored before the Lord. Now, here's my second point. I want you to get this. And He will bless people and birth things through people that will listen. Who will listen? Now, most of the time He's not going to send Gabriel to tell us. That's the problem, isn't it? Most of the time He's just going to speak here or in here or in both. And then we have to discern. I have an issue I'm wrestling with right now. Is this God or is this Jack? That's my prayer partner. I said, it's just a personal thing, but is this me or is this God? Because it's a sacrificial thing on my part, and I'm thinking, is this God or is this me? I mean, if God asks you to do something big and sacrificial, you'll question God. Are you sure you want me to be this generous? Because I'm not usually this generous. All you holy people, come on now. Here's my story, my $10. Dan and I, we got 10 each, and I was going down the road, and I think I shared this with our Bible students Wednesday night, but I'm going down the road, and I'm praying. I've been in a meeting, and I'm going home, and I'm in prayer. I said, "Oh, God, where do you want us to give our money?" And He said, "Give it to so-and-so." And I said, "Well, they don't need it. They make good money. They just built a new house." He said, "Well, you ask." "Well, who else? Who else?" And so this couple called that day, and they called and they said, "We want to go to dinner with you guys. We tried to get together with you last weekend. We couldn't." And so I thought, wow. And so we went to dinner with them, and I said, and this is why I told the Lord, "Lord, if this is you, if this is really you, just remind me at dinner, because I don't, you know." And so at dinner, first thing the check came, boom, give it to them. So I thought, this is God. So I pulled it out, and I says, "I got some money for you." He goes, "Snatch. Put it in his pocket." I said, "This is from our church, and we're planting good seeds. This is from God." He said, "You know what? I'll let you know. I'm going to pass this on." He don't go to church anywhere. Hadn't been in church in quite some time. Won't go to church. But you know what? He's got some of God's money in his hand that he has to do something with today. And I thought, "Oh, that's what you're up to. Why didn't you tell me that up front?" That's what we want, isn't it? We want all the info. We want it clear. And we want it from here to glory. And I'm telling you, you got to listen. And if God says give, God says do, God says forgive, just do it. You've got to listen to the Holy Spirit because He is talking. We're just not listening. So number one, what? Clean vessel. Number two, you got to listen. You got to listen. Number three, you got to what? You got to be a willing vessel. Because when He wants to do something bigger than you, here's Moses' question. And listen, if you're really listening to God, I know this much. You'll not only have, you say, "Well, if I was really listening, would I have questions?" I think if you're really listening, you have more questions. Because that means you've really heard the gravity of this thing, and you know that it's bigger than you. It's more than you would do. And so when you're really listening, you got questions. When He came to Moses and said, "I'm sending you, and I'm sending you to Egypt." And he said, "Who, me?" That was Moses' question. "Who, me? I kind of stutter." Now. If you want somebody could really, really talk, get my brother Aaron. "Who, me?" That was Moses' question. We think of Moses as a great guy, but Moses had questions, and we're gonna have questions when God wants to do something great through us. "You want me to forgive who?" We're going to have questions. "You want me to give what? You want me to witness to who?" We're going to have questions. That's just human nature. So ask your questions. You just need to be careful, especially if you're older and more mature in Christ, because you're more accountable. Remember what He said when Zechariah said, "But I'm old." And He said, "Shut up and don't talk until the baby's born." So you need to watch your questions if you're more mature in the Lord. Now Mary, she went on, "Lord, I've never known a man," and He's just like, "You're young, I'll let you." And she didn't have to shut up. That used to really bother me at first. "Well, why'd you make him shut up and you didn't make her shut up?" And He said, "Just shut up, Jack." Yes, okay. So here we are, and so it's okay to ask your questions. Ask any question that you have. Ask any question that you have. When I was helping these ladies with a little skit, and I said, "This is just something I've always wanted to do to give people a mental picture." I said, "Do you think it'd be okay?" And I asked Jan, I said, "Do you think it'd be okay if Elizabeth said, 'Well, Lord, Zach's too old to cut the mustard'?" And she said, "No, don't ask that question or make that statement." So I got to make it anyway. Don't tell Jana. That's kind of gross, isn't it? But don't you think if you're 90 years old or something, you'd ask that question? I thought it was funny. She thought it was irreverent. So am I, yeah. So you gotta listen, and you gotta be a yielded vessel. And the thing that you have to do is remember, you're not too young for Jesus to birth something great through you. Well, I'm just a new Christian. Well, you're not too young. Mary, they say, was probably a very young teenager, probably around 14, 15 years old. That's what I've heard theologians say. Elizabeth was well past her childbearing years, so I don't know how old she was, but she was well past, and God birthed something through her. So we got to keep our vessels clean. We got to be listening. Ask your questions. Jonah's question was, who? Nineveh? Are you kidding me? No way. Gideon's question, is this really you? Is this really you? We'll make the fleece wet if it's really you. We'll make the fleece dry if it's... Is this really you? These are great men and women of God, you know, that ask questions, but they finally just got their questions out and they yielded to God. And that's what I want to leave you with the challenge today. Just ask your question. When God wants to birth something bigger than you are, just ask the questions, who, me, and why this, and all. But when you lay them down, say, okay, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Can we do that this Christmas? Here am I, send me. I don't know why you picked me. David said, who am I that you are mindful of me? And that's the way we feel sometimes. But just say, I don't know why, but He chose me. You know, He chose me to lead this church. And when He first done that, I thought, are you sure? You better check your books. Me? He said, yeah, you. So ask your questions, but let's be willing vessels. Father, thank You today for all the willing vessels in this place. There's evidence of all over this place and all over our community that we are a house full of willing vessels in this place. You're birthing great things through them. You're birthing wells and houses. You're restoring families. Saving lost souls. Providing Christmas for children that wouldn't otherwise have. You're an awesome God, and You're birthing some great things through this congregation. And so, Lord, today I pray that You'll just help us in our weakness. We don't know why You chose us, but You did. And so for that, we thank You and we worship You and we praise You. And we ask, God, that we'll check our hearts. We'll check our hearts often to say, God, am I a holy vessel that You can use? Is there anything in my heart that doesn't look like You today? And if there is, I repent, Lord. I turn from that and forgive me. And I'm listening, Lord. Speak, Holy Spirit. Do great and mighty things through me in the name of Jesus. And I'm a willing vessel. It may be bigger than me, but I yield myself to You. I give myself to You as a Christmas present so You can use me and give gifts through me that will keep on giving forever and ever. Gifts of significance that will matter and change lives. Do that through us this season in Jesus' name. And right before they sing, I want to do this. I want to give you an invitation. If you're here today and you need Jesus Christ in your heart and life, maybe there's that dark spot that you said, you know what, I can't get over, I can't turn loose. If you're here today, would you just lift your hand? I want to say a prayer over you and clean your vessel before you leave this place. Anyone else? Just clean my vessel. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank You very much. Thank You very much. Father, for those that lift their hands today, I pray in Jesus' name You'll clean their vessel. The things they've been dealing with and wrestling with and entertaining, I pray today that You'll forgive them and help them to come to Your altar today and say, God, forgive me. I accept right now Your cleansing power through Jesus Christ. And I ask You to make me a holy vessel today. I give those thoughts, I give that sin, I give whatever it is, the darkness, I give it to You in Jesus' name. And thank You for going to the cross. Thank You, God, for the birth of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and His sinless life. Today I am clean. Because of Him. Not because of me, but because of what Jesus did for me. And I raised my hand today in admission that I need a Savior and I need cleansing. So today, Lord, I am clean. In Jesus' name. Thank You for being honest to the Lord today.
Good morning. As Jack was saying this morning, you know, when we give ourselves over willingly to God, that's when our light can truly shine for Christ, where we will be a beacon in the darkness. And this morning, I'd like to close service with candle lighting. So if you would, we'd like for you to come forward. And parents, please get the candles and stand around the outside edge. We're going to light each other's off of the one next to us. So just get a candle and then stand around the edge, and the flame will come to you. Edge of the sanctuary and